Okay, so the first thing, and this is actually prior to the first 100 days, and I want to start with thanking this Board of Education. They spent an 8-hour day with a working lunch, so they didn't stop and have an hour lunch. They worked for 8 hours straight. And we spent some time at Missouri Valley College, and I want to thank them as well for opening up that venue to us to allow us to have that time together. That was really only one of many days that this board has worked in addition to the regular monthly meetings. And through that day in the process, the board was able to adopt the new strategic plan for the district, and they revised it to incorporate the findings of a data dive that was done last spring. You all hired a consultant, Dr. Jim Henson, who worked to do that data dive. It canvassed the community, external stakeholders, students, staff, and administration, and then looked at the strategic plan that the district had been working on previously, but they adopted this document. I'm going to talk quite a bit about it this evening because I think it's very powerful, and I'll say this a couple of times. It's great to have a plan, but it needs to be just more than a plan that sits on a shelf that's referenced. I really think this is a living document that requires measurement of our progress towards goals. And the way that it has been constructed, the board has a document that's going to require the administration, myself, to report to them where we are as a district, how things are changing and moving, or if we're lacking the vision that we had hoped for, why, and what are we going to do about it. And that's an important thing to have in your governance plan. It also gets the district in compliance with the new MSIP 6 requirements, which is good because we're in tier one of the new MSIP 6 model, which is a tongue twister. This gets us in compliance and prepared for that, as we are one of the first schools in the state that will go through the monitoring process. That's kind of scary, but actually I think it couldn't be better timing for Marshall Public Schools for us to be able to work with the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, have them come in, work with us, look at this governance plan and how we're measuring our progress towards our goals, and being able to report back to our community and DESE itself to show that we are doing things with kids in mind. Jumping ahead through a few things there, risk assessment audit is something that the Board of Education also approved during that day, that 8-hour-long day of the board retreat. They approved the purchase of an assessment audit, which means we're going to have an outside auditing firm, CPA firm, is going to come in and look through our financial practices as a district and prepare a report to give to the public and to the Board of Education in terms of how do we collect money, deposit, and manage money. What checks and balances do we have? Are we being proactive to make sure we don't have any weaknesses that could lend itself to fraudulent activity? That in conjunction with the fact that we're getting a regular annual audit right now, we're going to have a lot of things to be able to present to the public and the board. It's a slow process, but I'd say somewhere between October and the end of November, we should have a lot of expert opinions on where we are in terms of our financial practices. If we could scroll down just a little bit, please, sir. We want to start a culture in the next 100 days as an administrative team that's going to ask and measure all considerations with the Board of Education with these three principles. Is it best for kids? Is it best for the district? And is it best for the community? Is a mindset and a philosophy that we're going to try to apply to our practices and our implementation of this new governance plan that I'm excited about. I think the Board of Education has been asking for that, and I hope to deliver it and you to see it and feel that has been applied in the first 100 days as we work through things. We also have, in fact, the Board of Education will get in a first reading form tonight that you'll probably see next board meeting. They have asked to think about and create, in conjunction with the administration, board meeting norms, which is going to double as kind of a training tool and some goals for us as a Board of Education and district to say this is how the Board of Education will facilitate the directing of the district according to best practices. And lastly, we're working to prepare a public statement, and the Board of Education will give its final nod of approval on that, I believe, tonight for release after tonight's board meeting to deliver to the media regarding our work to ensure, as we start the new school year, We are working diligently to create better policies, practices, and procedures to protect our students. Those are things the board has directed. They've asked of me in the hiring process, and I'm excited to get to work and deliver for them things like handbooks, et cetera. They have made it very clear this is what they want for the Marshall Public School District, and we're excited to get to work creating those documents with them. All right, last few things here, and these will go really quick. Exit interviews, within the next, first 100 days, we're gonna have a new exit interview process. We know that as a district, not only as a district, but public education as a whole, we've struggled to fill teaching positions since the start of this pandemic. You can't find more honest employees than the employees who say we're leaving, resigning, retiring, et cetera, to ask, what can we do better to retain you or recruit you and to keep you? So we're going to revise our exit interview and have a process created for the Board of Education to approve so that by the time we get to the spring hiring season, if you will, when teachers typically resign, we want to be able to present to the Board of Education and the community and say, this is what we're hearing, so we can make plans for how to try to combat these shortages that we're seeing everywhere and stay ahead of it. Facebook pages are being consolidated across the district. We'll talk more, a lot more about that in depth in a minute. And we're working to improve how we communicate with our stakeholders in formats that we're familiar with, such as Textcaster, that we already have, but we have other tools already in our tool belt, so to speak, where we can actually send voice recorded messages to parents, students, grandparents, etc. And we're working to get that ready because in cases of emergency, we need to have a good communication plan for how do we respond and what format do we respond and when do we respond. All of these things are in our governance plan documents, and I'm excited to get that shared out. And we have some really talented people in the district that are going to work to help make that happen. We'll have one of them, Daniel Wright, come present to us next month about the work that's already being started on that. Okay, so with that said, we're going to jump a couple documents here. Let's just go ahead and jump to the governance plan itself really quickly. I will not read the entire governance plan to you tonight. It is posted on the website as of last Friday evening. I am going to jump to the second slide, please, sir. This shows you the eight pillars that the district has approved. Communication, teaching, learning, high quality faculty and staff, facilities, fiscal resources, leadership, culture and climate, safety and security. Those are the umbrellas that the Board of Education has said our new governance plan is going to work to improve in these areas. We're going to measure our progress towards the goals that are clearly defined. And I'm going to show you just one of them so you can see how this is structured. If you could go one more slide, please, sir. So these are all SMART goals. We love our acronyms in education very much. Each slide, each facet of these eight pillars are built this way. The acronym being specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. Going to just go through this one to give you an example. So the pillar, one of the eight pillars is communication. First step, develop a comprehensive communication plan. Specifically, the superintendent or designee with a team representative of the district will convene for the purposes of creating a plan to ensure that it includes detailed strategies, identifying the persons responsible for each strategy and a timeline. What I really like about the governance model that Marshall Public Schools has adopted here is every piece of it is measurable. It's part of the plan. So how will we measure it? Written communication will be created and presented to first myself as superintendent and then presented to the school board for approval. It will has to be attainable. It's got to be realistic. With a designated team, they'll execute the creation of the plan, reaching internal and external stakeholders. The creation of this plan, it says, does not have a budgetary impact. That's also in each step of these eight pillars. Does it have a financial impact or not? Is it relevant? How and why? I won't read that whole thing, but if you skip all the way to the bottom, it references MCIT-6, which gets us prepared for those requirements as we're about to be monitored by the state of Missouri, and I think we're well ahead of the game for that process. And lastly, time bound. When does it happen? This is posted online, and if it says it's going to be presented to the board, it will be presented to the board. The only exception is going to be times when you have contractor issues and things when they do have financial implications, but this is how each step of the governance plan works. And if we could back out of that, or actually, can we go forward one slide first? So just because there's only eight pillars doesn't mean we don't draw it out. Of course, this one talks about the next step of the plan, which comes to the board in December. Intentionally build relationships and partnerships with internal and external stakeholders. We'll talk more about that. Let's go back to the PowerPoint now, please, sir. All right. So I've introduced first the governance plan and those eight pillars. I want to talk now, what's that going to look like for Marshall Public Schools? How is the board directing this, and how does it actually translate to something our community, staff, and students can be proud of? So I'm sticking with that communication pillar, which is due, the first piece of it is due in October. It has started with first preliminary meetings that we have already conducted with our administrative team, many of whom came in on their time off, worked extra time to have conversations. I appreciate them a ton for their willingness to do what's best for kids. And we talked about what things do we need to do to be ready to present to the Board of Education and have them feel reassured that we're doing what they've called us to do. We talked about first that we had numerous, we'll find out next month how many. Mr. Wright just emailed me today and said he keeps finding more Facebook pages and groups, probably pushing upwards of 10 or 12 out there. And we're gonna consolidate them because if Facebook is the powerful tool that we know that it is, as a district, we should utilize it in a format that people are familiar with. And we need to put our own message out there and talk about what we're doing for kids, what we're doing that is worth celebrating. And I think that it's a medium that people are familiar with if we consolidate and create a plan that effectively tells what's going on that's positive and good. We talked about all the tools at our disposal, which is where we talked about our tone of voice truly needs to be heard. Textcaster is an amazing tool. That's not going to throw it to the side necessarily, but it's your voice, or it's your words only. It's not your voice. And we talked about and all agreed they need to hear when we have certain situations, our voice saying, this is what we're doing. We have a plan. We care. And there's just no substitute for that. So I'm excited to get those pieces moving. We also talked about the committee that's going to be formed and designating all the layers that are needed. A communication plan has to have many layers if you think of it like an onion. There's emergency communication. There's routine communication in terms of within buildings, from buildings to parents, et cetera. And then there's all the formats we want to use. And we want to make sure if we're a parent of four or five kids, or like my mom, parent of eight, if they go to four different buildings in the school district, do they have to have four different modes of communication? Let's not do that. Let's make it easy for our parents. We're setting deadlines and we're getting prepared for that board approval by October. And that's our one example. I've talked really fast. I'm gonna stop for just a second, see if there's any questions before I finish this up in regards to the governance plan. Okay. Couple other pieces separate from that I won't go quite as deep into, but I think they're exciting. Culture and climate survey by October is another thing that we're looking into that I'm excited to share with our stakeholders as well. There again, we met with the central office staff and discussed how will we find out how people feel about the culture and climate of our district, in our buildings as a school district, and in our community. So by August, we will have identified, which is coming very quickly, we're well on our way, all the stakeholder groups such as parents, staff, students, and community that we need to hear from. Then we're creating a survey in multiple formats to share out and collect their responses. We have to have that done by September, and we will share it publicly, as the governance plan says we will, I believe, by October. We will present back to you. The big thing that we're seeking here is not to be perfect, but to be honest and transparent. If there are shortcomings, we want to tell you what they are, and we want to make new goals and new timelines to achieve change that's meaningful to you guys at the Board of Education and to our, most importantly, our children and their parents. I only have a couple more points. It's kind of warm in here, so I hope you're staying with me. Didn't have a big supper before you came, and I don't want to put you to sleep. But we're going to talk about some things. This goes back to the board training that our Board of Education spent that time doing. I keep referencing that retreat, that 8-hour day. The consultant, Dr. Henson, worked through a lot of things with us, talked about things that he referenced as board norms. Some of these things are a recap of what he shared with us that I think was powerful and that the board said they wanted to see in the months ahead, the next 100 days particularly.
he talked about board roles and responsibilities, and that as a board, conducting ourselves in the best way that we possibly can, that we want to keep board business for board policies, for governance, and other legal requirements, and this is a big one, I think, evaluation of the superintendent. Accountability for the district starts with the superintendent. I'm evaluated by the Board of Education, and I think that needs to be a major focus. What does the Board of Education want from myself? And me being transparent, again, and where are we in that process? And being willing to reflect on it. I think that that's the way to model to all of our teachers and our district as a whole, that we're willing to subject ourselves to self-reflection and look at how we can improve. We can always improve. Dr. Henson called that majoring in the majors. These are the majors. He also talked about letting the past be the past, and he presents to many boards of education, this is specific to absolutely nothing, but just life in general and public education and the world we live in. This is a direct quote from his training, and this is where he talked about not majoring in the minors. There's big things and there's little things. Don't major in the minors, major in the majors, he said. He talked about, we will not let situations that happened in the past keep us from serving our students, employees, and community. We will treat others the way we desire to be treated. We will continually work to develop strong communication, trust, and a positive working relationship. So this is another example of things he recommended be embedded in the board norms that we will present next month and work together on. And I'm really excited to work with this Board of Education who drove this train, if you will, and wanted this to happen for Marshall Public Schools. Lastly, advocacy is a part of board norms. And another direct quote from Dr. Henson, we will advocate for all of our school district and public education, not for individuals or special interests, but all students, all staff, and our entire district, and the better good of all we serve. These are the sort of things that are going to be embedded in the board norms that'll come to the board next month. And through our work tonight, we will be ironing out those details. I'm sure there'll be many meetings and discussions where you guys sacrifice a lot more of your personal time. And I'm excited to put this out there. I think the community hopefully will be excited to see the work that we're doing and the sacrifice you guys have made for your school district. Jumping to one or two last things, I think this is next to last, building conditions and safety. Mr. Renke, our new assistant superintendent, starting with me July 1st, we've had 26 days to dig into a lot of things. Buildings have been a huge one. We have this governance plan now in place, and we have pretty aggressive timelines, and they include safety and security as well as buildings, and these two things absolutely overlap in what we see needs. And we recognize quickly that we are not those experts. If you need some of these construction things done, there are questions that we can't answer. We aren't the best people to answer. So we will be seeking from the Board of Education some time in upcoming meetings as we're going to seek RFQs, a request for quotes. We learned some interesting things, and I'm going to show you some of those interesting things in upcoming slides. But some of them are specific to our building conditions, as well as possible vulnerability. All schools have vulnerability, by the way. I feel really good about what I'm about to show you. It's not a big, scary negative, but I think a hopeful insight to what this planning can look like for the district. We think to look at our doors, our locks, our secure vestibules. We need to look at the standard access district-wide or perhaps lack thereof. Do we have a universal key system? Electronic key systems, safety, vestibules, all those things take money and time and planning and collaboration. And so to think that Mr. Renke or myself could present to the community and the Board of Education and say we know what's best, that would be misinformed. We're going to ask for these RFQs because we believe some architectural firms, some engineers looking at our facilities, weighing in on some of these long-term plans and short-term plans is important. And they can see things that we just won't necessarily see. Let me give you some quick examples of that. We were lucky enough recently to have gotten an architectural group that I have worked with in the past. They were willing to sacrifice a little bit of time to give Marshall Public Schools a taste of what their kinds of organizations can offer. And they said, we come down, we'll give you 2-3 hours if you'll eat lunch with us. But they actually didn't even make us buy them lunch. I appreciate that. They even took us out to lunch. But they're probably hoping they get to do one of the RFQs. We'll see if they shake out to be the best or not, because that's who we want. But we said, let's go to Beaker. We've heard the roof's bad on Beaker. So we went over there, looked at it, and a classic example of why you want those professionals is what I'm going to show you. There are things that if you aren't a professional, you would look at it and think, oh my goodness, I'm a little concerned about this. I see a loose seam, or I see a pocket of water here where the roof's starting to separate. The first thing they said when they looked at that roof was, they said, this roof does not need new decking. It does not need a total tear off. And there are programs available for your Board of Education to look at where we could recoat, reseal, and give a 20-year warranty on this roof. But they said, you don't want to wait 3 years or it will need all new decking. It will be a complete and total tear off. So that was the first thing that I thought, well, there's a relief for things that you hear that aren't necessarily true, right, Jack? That was found to be untrue, and we are going to have a plan, and that takes some budget dollars, so we need a plan for things like that. It's still not cheap, but it's cheaper. They also looked at this really interesting stack, which I have to say, Beaker Middle School is one of the coolest architectural schools, and that has pros and cons. But they have these big stacks that you see here on the right that go all the way down to the basement and into the tunnels, so really almost down into the bowels of the building. And they were intended at the time it was built, according to the architects that came and saw us, it was all about airflow, pre-air conditioning days. And they said it actually has wonderful implications still today for your HVAC system to let that flow and work the way that it's supposed to. But they said it looks like you probably brought in some folks to do the roof the last time who were skilled in roofing, didn't necessarily know about HVAC, which is why you want those experts. So they showed us, if you look at the right, you see that metal covered, looks like windows. They said that was actually intended ventilation that was covered at the time it was roofed. And from a roofer's perspective, it probably made sense. Seal it up, keep the precipitation out. They said it was not in the best interest of the roof's longevity, probably, and certainly not the HVAC's efficiency to do that. And then as we walked through the building, we found all these vents throughout the whole building. Well, again, we're not professionals, we're school teachers and principals and superintendents. So if you've got a drafty vent, cover it up, right? Really insightful, and I think that's what we're gonna get out of the RFQs and the professionals that'll come and present to us, is simple things like that that should tell us where we are. And it's not all gonna be scary. There's gonna be good things that come from that. Most of the time, a decision like that costs you some money up front, saves you a lot in the long run. The last item, and then I'll take any questions and be quiet for a while because it is warm in here and getting late. Thank you for your patience as I presented all that. Community and district relations is one of the other items I want to just touch on as I introduce our first 100 days and things that are important to us. The board said this from the very beginning when they interviewed me. It is important to them that the superintendent be visible in our community and work on partnerships with our community. I gave them my word that I would do that. I have not so far in the first 26 days gotten it going, but we have a list going. We're working to make contact, and we are going to do that, and we are hungry for the community, as well as the board, who's already given us a lot of great direction, to reach out to us, give us an email, and let us know about community organizations that you might be a part of. We want to work with them. And some examples, not the least, but just a few examples: Chamber of Commerce, Rotary, City Council, Ministerial Alliance, and anything like that. If you see an opportunity for the school district and the community to partner together, we want to do that, and we want to be visible with those organizations because we think it's what's best for kids.